time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run up and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. This is the word of the Lord. We are at the end of this sermon series, Q3, where we have been learning about the study of the life of Daniel. And the topic, the last topic for this sermon series is your name in the book of life. And I'm so delighted that Reverend Ejibe Eme is here to give the word. And we are expectant.
Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. What a good thing to be in God's presence. Thank God he has brought us here again. And I'm glad to be among you sharing this fellowship. Every time you are in God's presence, it's a privilege. The Holy Spirit said, blessed is the man whom the Lord causes to draw near unto him, for he shall be satisfied with the goodness of his house. And so we're here this morning. It's a great privilege. Somebody say hallelujah. Please, shall we share in a word of prayer one more time? Lord, what a joy to be in your presence and to look into the Holy Script. For the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Let there be illumination, Lord. Bread on us again, the bread of life, until we are wholly thine. Until the whole earthly part of us glows with your fire divine. Grant every one of us an encounter with you. by a word. We'll be careful to return the praise to you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. I didn't hear your amen very well. You know, we have a focus that's also a question. Is your name written in the book of life? You know, this topic is one of the peculiarities of the Christian faith that brings us to soberness of mind to think more deeply about the very essence of our life and existence. We may not find in other bodies that claim to be religious because they just deal about things that we can't see. But the peculiarity of the Christian faith, it makes you think beyond what you can see and what this life is. We read again a part of scriptures we have read. There's no harm reading too much of the Bible. You know, the Bible is the only book that reading it too much does not have a negative side effect. Revelation chapter 20. And may I ask you, like I ask in many churches I go to, please, if you came with a book called Bible, can you lift it up and show to your neighbor that I came with a book called Bible? They know there's a book called Bible. There are other briefcases that contain that book, but there's a book, it's called a book, and we'll be talking about books. You came with it? Can you lift it up and show your neighbor and say, see my own, I came with it? You know, it's a book, not the briefcase. The briefcase is the tablets, the phone, the gadgets. All those things are briefcases that contain different kinds of things. But some of them contain more bad news than good news, particularly in our climb. But that's not the book called Bible. Please note this, because it's part of the thing we are considering, is that your life may be personal, but not private. What you are doing is affecting somebody. Your children are watching you going to church without that book. And they are learning that you don't need to go to church regularly with the book. And you train up a child the way he should go. When he grows up, he shall not depart from it. You know, it's now some embarrassment to buy a Bible as a birthday gift for our children. You know, it's now an embarrassment to carry the Bible to some places. They say, what are you doing with this? Because there's a subtle war going on to make the book called Bible unpopular. And the subtlety in it is that they want to use the church people to accomplish it. Because the constituency of that book is a church. And gradually, the book is losing ground in its own constituency. And when you finally lose ground in your own constituency, it means that very soon you become a history. It's a very subtle war that is going on and packaged in a way that you may not know that is a war going on. I'm privileged by my little type of job to move around. And the last few weeks, I've gone to different states in different youth conferences, running in hundreds. I also discovered that less than 15% of the young people that come for the conference of 3-4 days come with the book called Bible. And then gradually, it's a thing of joy to go without the book. That is, what are you doing with the book? You know, an error can be global, an error can be executive, an error can be well refined, and it doesn't look like an error. But let's watch it. Let's watch it because you soon forget to check whether your children's Bible is still intact. You check their addresses, their dressing, their mannerism, but you don't check the book called Bible. Revelation chapter 20. We're not talking about it because it's just a religious book. But you could do research and find that there's no book like the Bible. The Bible is the only book that can serve as a reference textbook for all issues of life. No other book can serve that. Whether you want to do life management, time management, finance management, leadership, career management, relationship management, you can reference the Bible. But no other book serves that purpose. And the Bible is the only book you can read intelligently and sincerely and remain stupid. Because every stupidity is traceable to rejecting what the Bible said. There's no stupidity that is not rooted in rejecting the Bible. Very powerful book. That's the only book the words are medicinal. It can cure diseases. All kinds of diseases, spiritual, psychological, emotional, relational. The book of the Bible is the only book the words are medicinal. Can cure disease. No other book. The other books tell you how to cure disease, but this one cures disease. it mysteriously enters into you, and you don't know how it happens. And it's the only drug, medicine, that the overdose is good for your health. Every other medicine, the overdose is dangerous. So when we have the book called Bible, we celebrate the book. Amen. Please don't tell me you forget it. You have cars and that. Just buy many of them and put in all your cars. No matter the one you drive, there's a book inside it. So that as your children watch you, they know that this book is very important. Revelation chapter 20. Let's read quickly from verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. The death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Just to raise some thoughts for the shortness of our time so that we can ponder over it. I was glad when I came for the study this morning. One of the shock I had was that less than 10% of the adults were in the Bible study. I was just asking myself, why is everybody not here? Because the discussions were deep, profound, and thought-provoking. You know, I tried to give excuse that they are very busy, but I remember that these people move by 4 a.m., 4:30 to their works, to their offices. So why can't they be here by 8 a.m.? So my excuse couldn't stand. But the question is your name written in the book of life? I'll try to raise three sets of thoughts quickly and see how we go with it, so that we can ponder over it. We just need to allow the words of scriptures to speak to us in this matter, so that it will be able to get to all we want to raise within the time we have. There are underlining facts, brethren, in looking at this book of life and your name there. Some underlining factors that could help us think correctly is, number one, that this earthly life has an end and has consequences at the end. This earthly life has an end. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And Daniel 12:2 said, and many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. The people that sleep shall wake up. There's no argument about that. When you die, you are not in control. When you are buried, you are not in control. So you will not be considered, your opinion will not be considered when you wake up from the dead. It says some will wake up, some to everlasting contempt, and some to life. So it has an end. It has an end. And brethren, for us Christian believers, 1 Corinthians 15:19 said, for if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. All men most miserable. That is, among all the men, believers and unbelievers, we are the most miserable. If only in this life. That is, when they gather all men, separate the normal from miserable, we will be part of the miserable. They'll separate the miserable from the more miserable, we join the more miserable. They separate the most miserable from the more miserable, they will now join the most miserable. It means that even miserable people will be pitying you because your own is most miserable. It means that, you know, I believe that the Spirit of God was lacking words to describe the implication that if only in this life, what we can see, what we can have, what we can be. And that's all that is the hope we have in Christ. It means that we're of all men most miserable. So this earthly life have an end. But don't be afraid, it will not be too early. Because with long life will he satisfy us. But no matter how long it is, one day that long will become short. In fact, there's a way you stay longer here, your children will be begging God to kill you. Because they'll be asking the Lord. You know, it happened to me. My grandmother, she was sick, and I was just asking God, please keep this woman. After some years, my mother came to me and said, Obo, allow this woman to go. and rest. I said, Mama, should I ask God to kill your mother? He said, no, just ask him to allow her to rest. You know, because the thing is now long and very long. So it shows there's an end. And I don't think there's a need for argument, because that's why in your office you have retirement age. To tell you that there is an end. There will be an end. There will be an end. There's an end of tenor, no matter how you love. So that's the first part. That's end to this earthly life. Secondly, there's an abode for the righteous with God, for the Christian believer. There's an abode. There's a place we're going. Jesus said, John 14, believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And when I have done, I will come back and take you. That where I am, there you may be also. To the world, that may be foolishness. But to us, Christ is the power of God. They can ask us, why do we believe that? Well, we don't have a reason not to believe it. Because everything he said has come to pass. He said to Martha and Mary, your brother shall live again. And he came to the dead that was 4 days and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came back alive. And he said, I would die, but on the third day I will rise again. They brought soldiers, blocked the grave, sealed it with a stone and a seal, so that he cannot come out. But on that early morning of the first day, at the end of the Sabbath, Mary and Mary Magdalene and other women went to see the tomb of Jesus. And suddenly there was an earthquake. For the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled away the stone, and sat upon it. That's Matthew 28 from verse 1. And he rose. And when they came, they said, he is not here, because he has risen as he told you. So everything he has said came to pass. And he said he's coming back again. And we know he's preparing a place. But please hear this. You don't enter somebody's house at your own terms, except you are a thief. You enter somebody's house on his own terms. And so, if we are going to be in the abode he has prepared, it has to be on his own terms. And this term is connected with this book of life. Revelation 21, that's why let's just read scriptures quickly as we flow. Verse 27. He said, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So the time to enter this abode is that your name must be in the book of life. It's non-negotiable. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. When he spoke to one of the churches, brought up this condition again. Revelation 3 and verse 5. He said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So if you are going to enter there, then their name must be in this book of life. And that's why we're asking this question. Is your name in the book of life? People like me, I used to wonder, I said, after all your preaching, running up and down, and your name is not in this book of life, what becomes of you? You know, in our study, one of our brothers said, we were talking about those technicalities, first resolution, second resolution, said that he doesn't want to be around during the second matter. He just wants to go at the first move, that other stories he doesn't want to hear. Is your name in the book of life? Now, why is it important, plainly? That is the second set of thoughts. You discover that at the end, there will be a reckoning. And the book of life is a factor in the dynamics of the reckoning and the judgment. He said, and books were open. Books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And everyone was judged by what is written in the books. So the book of life, whether it's there or not, will be a factor in the final judgment, because there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. One man somewhere, one big man as it were, said to me that I'm a false preacher, that I'm talking about hell and heaven, lake of fire and all that, that God is so good that he cannot do that. I said, well, he's not sending you to hell as a sinner because he's not good. He's sending you out of policy statement. He said, what do you mean? I said, what do you do, sir? He said, I'm a businessman. you import goods from abroad? I said, yes. I say, if you give a man money paid to bring in some containers of goods within 21 days, and after 1 year you have not seen your container, the next time you see the man, what will you do? He said, I will arrest him and lock him up. I say, why? He said, because of failed investment. I say, you will go to hell because you had a failed investment, because God has put in everything in you. That's one reason we are and live, to give him pleasure, and that investment failed. And that's what the judgment will be. So it will come into place. And he said something in that Revelation 20 where we read, verse 12. He said, and the dead were judged what is written in the books. And it's also a determinant factor. Because verse 15 said, and whosoever means anyone. God does not have respect of persons. Whosoever whose name was not found written in that book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Whether you're a leader, a new member, coordinator, choir member, preacher, no matter your status, if your name is not found there, some people say, when we reach there, we'll ask God a question. Which God are you asking a question? Will you be able to stand him before as he stands? No. Brethren, it's a determinant factor. What finally happened? Please note something from scripture, brethren. If you go to that Hebrew Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, 12, and 13, there was something said there that will help you understand, help us understand that there's no earthly thing that will be a factor at the execution of this prophecy. Because he said, and I saw a great white throne, that's verse 11, and he that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for him. When he stands, the earth and the heavens flies away. It means that nothing on this earth, all the things we value, regard, use as calibration standards, We not stand. The sea will give up the dead. So where you die and how you die is not an escape route. The dead, the sea, and this hell will deliver everything to stand judgment. You know, we have a problem in this world now that they are trying to redefine value systems. Sometimes you say, what you did is not right. You say, well, it depends on where you come from. Where we travel abroad in the standard nations, these things don't count. As if God is a member of their nation. And someone said to me, you are being a cake. We are talking about new things. I said to the person that God is too old. You can't civilize him. He's too new. You can't modernize him. He's just God by himself. Everything will fly away. The things that count for us will not have a place. Everyone will now stand to know if your name is written in the book of life. The thing that is a distraction today, the thing that has value, that is still vanity, that have stopped me to ask that question, will not stand. In fact, we're already seeing all over the place that those of us that have this kind of job, we meet people at vulnerable places, either they're about to die or they finally die, or we go to bury them. As you look at them, you see the vanity of life. I remember one man, the pastor, and I was asked to come and help. And some years ago, I didn't have a driving license. And we wanted to move the family to go and see him in the mortuary. He has one wonderful Mercedes car, white in color. And we looked for who would drive it. I didn't have a driving license to drive. The sons didn't have. All our close relations didn't have. There's only one of our relations that has a driving license and willing to drive. And he's not in talking terms with this man that died. The community knows it. They are enemies. But he's the only one that had driving license. And lo and behold, we handed the car to the enemy. I was just looking at that car. I said, this car, you are very stupid. If you know who is driving you, you wouldn't agree to start. And the man knew we were feeling bad. He just said to us, wait, let me go and warm it. He would drive around. He would do his hand like this. And we had no choice. Only the enemy can drive his car to take us to mortuary. I remember what Solomon said, vanity of vanities. Everything flies away. But brethren, to just tie it together quickly, how do we guarantee that my name is there? You know, there's nothing God wants us to know he said in ambiguous statements. The scripture is simple. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. There are simple things the Lord has said with which we can understand how to guarantee that my name is in that place. Let's go to Revelation 22 quickly. Let's go to verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and warmongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And verse 19 said, if any man will remove, take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. So when we reject the word of God and the truth of the word of God, we cannot have a place in the book of life. And who is the word? In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was God. The same was the beginning was God. There was nothing made that was not made through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's John chapter 1, verse 12 said, as many as receive him. So Jesus is the word of God. When we reject him, there's no way we can have a place in the book of life. And when we reject the truth, say, they that do his commandment. You know, we have a challenge in this generation, very civilized but ignorant generation in many aspects. You know, anything you do and you have people supporting you becomes right. You know, even when you commit sin. But the scripture cannot be broken. If you commit sin and people support you, it doesn't change anything. You're only a sinner with public support. But you are still a sinner. And all that makes a lie and immoral, none shall enter there. You know what the Bible said? 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. He said, this is the record that we have, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And whosoever has him has life. And he that has him has no life in him at all. So it's receiving him, being in him, receiving his word. If you remove his word, that's when you live a life that rejects his word, their name cannot be in the book of life. Don't mind the early ideas. You know, sometimes when we chat, we say, that man is a man of God, he's a big person in church. They say, leave him the way he's doing. God has a way of judging such people. Don't enter into their matter. I say, when did God become their classmate? That he now knows that they have another standard from those of us that are on the floor, our standard. Whosoever that his name is not written there. And brethren, not just rejecting the word. Because in rejecting the word, you can't be in the will of God. Love not the world, Apostle John said, chapter 2, verse 15. For the love of God, world, is not the love of God. And it's he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they are not of God, but of the world. And the world passes away, and everything in it, but he that does the will of God shall last forever. Are you in the will of God? That brings to the second aspect of it that we can conclude from. You need to lead a lifestyle that is acceptable. We enter into his heavens on his own terms. Some people say there will be surprises that day. I wonder where they are getting the surprise from. Because when we die, the judgment part, it's not the type that they will stand in the court, you argue and argue and argue. God is not a Democrat. Go and read your Bible. God is an autocratic God. And is the first grade autocracy that is called theocracy. Whatever he says is a law. It's not for public debate or consideration. So don't mind what we say now. Whatever he says is the law. And that's why he speaks anyhow. He can say, I love Jacob and hate Esau. You say, thank you, Lord. You don't ask him for what? Why? Because he shows mercy to whom he shows mercy and love to whom he shows love. Everything he says is a law. It's either you believe and you are saved or you reject and you are damned. So the Bible said, everyone that makes a lie Okay, let's see the scriptures, just quote it a little bit, and then we pray from there. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Okay, read verse 7. Verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's a lifestyle that is acceptable. The book of 1 John chapter 3, that's the way he summarized it from verse 1. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we are called the sons of God. He said, beloved, now are we the children of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. You, the church here may accept me, mark me good, mark me 100%. But God is not a member of this church. He only works in this church. So what we decide does not influence what he will decide. What we have as title. Some people can come and say, I preached in your name, I taught, I did deliverance, I casted a demon. He said, go away from me, for I know you not. You are a worker of iniquity. If any man have this hope, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He purifies himself. Please, what does he mean by purify himself? Can you go quickly to scripture? I will go to Titus chapter 2, and then we'll see how we'll close down from there. Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 11 that talks about salvation. It said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God that has brought salvation in preparing us for his appearing is also teaching us. You have to yield to the teaching that we should live soberly. You know, soberly speaks of right mind. Like the Bible said in Ephesians, said, awake that sleepers, and Christ shall give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, understanding the will of the days are evil, understanding what the will of God is. You walk wisely because the days are evil. Soberly, reasoning. You know, what we operate in this world in many aspects is now, is like just go to an amusement park. You know, amuse means you don't reason. You know, amusement means, muse means thinking in mind. Amuse means out of mind. That's why you can go to an amusement park, you climb up one machine, they carry you up, and they announce you're on top of this world. Meanwhile, your house rent, you have not paid it, but you're on top of this world. You know, they remove you from reality. You are just, and they're making life that way. You just wake up and wear something. Even if you look like a mad person, just go ahead. As far as you have boldness, everything goes. Any word you use, anything you do, even the music these days are just noise. Just combine some noise and some movements, and that's music. And sometimes you don't wonder, what are we singing? There's nothing that is reasonable. You can wake up and say, I don't feel like a man again. I want to change like a woman. They say, change. And by next week, you want to change back. They say, you can't walk up again. You can't. Just wake up. You are just out of your mind. You just do things so that anything goes. You are not reasoning. You are not thinking. But here in this household, we are to live soberly. Consider there is an end. It's not the just joy. Now, what is the implication of what I'm living now? And live righteously, in right standing with God, and godly. So every man that has this hope, you have to live soberly. And that's why we're in church this morning. Not because we're idle civilians. We are come to fellowship. Can you look at your life? If he comes now, will you go? You may have excuses. I hear excuses. That's what we meet every day. They are redefining the value system. You know, some people are different kinds of things. I overheard a preacher saying that when you sleep with somebody else, as far as it's mutual agreement, it's not a sin. What is a sin is that you force the person. Different ideas, theologies, theories. But the word of God standeth sure.
and having this foundation, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So you are preparing. Are you ready? Because Apostle Paul said in the Thessalonians, said that the Lord shall descend from heaven. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. With a shout, with the voice of the archangels, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive shall be caught up together in the clouds to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, comfort one another with these things. Because our comfort is beyond what we can see. Beloved, if he comes, do you look like him? That's the question I ask myself. Everybody may say something beautiful about me, but what does he say? Is your name written in the book of life? You know, for today, we'll just focus on asking you. Otherwise, some other time we'll ask you, the children you have, are you sure their name is in the book of life? What is the joy you have looking at your children? I'm wondering, perhaps I make it to heaven and my children are not there. What will I be telling God that the gifts he gave to me? Where are you putting your effort? On the things that are temporary or the things that are eternal? Let's bow our heads and pray. Where do you stand? Today you rarely read the word. Sometimes you rarely have time to pray. And these days you are very busy. And gradually you are tuning to the world. But if only in this life we have hope. That we need to remember that there's nothing in this life that truly satisfies. I need money, you need money. I desperately need it more than you. But how much will be enough? Because when silver increase and goods increase, the amount that will eat it will also increase. What is it that I will eat today that will not be hungry tomorrow? We only wear new dresses once. What is in this life that is worth it that I will not be found in the Lamb's book of life? What position that does not expire? The young girl soon becomes a grandmother. The young fine boy soon becomes a grandfather. And no more pleasure in many things. And that's why we're here. Because surely he will come again. I'll prepare. You are in church this morning. Have you known this Jesus in whom we have eternal life? That's one thing peculiar about the Christian faith. It's a salvation now and a salvation in eternity. Have you given your life to Christ? Are you sure you know him? Are you sure you have an experiential knowledge of his salvation? Or have you returned back to the vomit as a dog? Because dogs are outside, immoral people outside, profane people outside. But we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account. We want to pray just two prayers quickly in our time. Have you given your life to Christ? You can make a decision today. Or you want to say, God, I want to return back and rededicate my life. Such decisions are very serious, internal. Decisions with internal consequences. And we don't make light of it. And I want to pray for you. It happened in my life and I don't have one regret. Paul said, I know that when he comes, he will give me the crown of glory. You want to give your life to Christ? I will pray for you as someone prayed for me many years ago. And then we'll pray together as a church that God's help will come. Where is your priority these days? How much do you remember that Jesus may come today or tomorrow? Do you still remember it? You want to give your life to Christ, can I ask you to just raise your hand as a way of indicating, and I will pray for you. I did that many years ago, and I don't have one regret. You want to make up your mind, you are hearing the voice of the Spirit saying, my son, give me your heart. My daughter, give me your heart.
If you have, you want to do that, please just lift up your hand. It's not a matter of being ashamed. We're not indicting anybody. We're talking about your life. And if you wouldn't mind, please just stand. Why do I ask you to do these things? I want you to register in your subconscious mind what you have decided today. Because there are pressures from there. Just stand on your feet. If you have raised your hand, I'll pray for you. And our church workers will be reaching out to you for anything that will help. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are making up your mind. Just stand. And we'll be praying together. Except that he saved me, by now I'll be dead or very deadly. But he pulled me from the miry clay. Lord, we pray. You are the only one that can save a soul, because there's no other name given among men where we'll be saved except the name Jesus. Lord, I pray for these precious ones that have made up your mind, not because of my word, but because of this whispering of your spirit in their hearts. Let the miracle of regeneration take place. You're able to purge our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. Lord, I pray that renewal, that regeneration might be their experience even this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit will commend them into your hearts that you walk that walk of grace and let the will of God be fulfilled. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you. Please, can I ask you to rise on your feet, if you wouldn't mind, everyone? And if you wouldn't mind, see if your hand can stretch to somebody close to you, and let's pray for one another in 1 minute. I think my time is up, and then we will go. The book of James chapter 5 verse 16 said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another to may be healed, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, knowing the time that the night is far spent, the day is near. And our salvation is nearer than when we believe. There's pressure from all over the place. The devil is working with the world system so that the elect we collapse. There is pressure. They are introducing different lifestyles, value systems, some legally, some by force. But we pray, because they that know their God shall stand strong. It is the will of the Father to give us the kingdom. Please, can you pray for that person you're holding? They say to the church, you have left their first law. Repent. Can we pray for one another that every one of us be strengthened with might in our inner man? Please, can you pray that your prayer produces power, dynamic in its working, that God, that light will shine? Is there anywhere your person is struggling? Is it in the marriage, in a relationship, that your principles are beginning to fall short of the will of God and the word of God? It's like you are rejecting the word, or you are losing the passion, the love, the enthusiasm, the affection you have for God, for his word, for righteousness. Gradually is slipping off your hand. And some things you rejected before is gradually creeping in. But let's pray, Father, that he that purges us with the refiner's fire will do that miracle this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Please pray. Thank you, Father. Just pray. Just pray for that person. Your prayer is effectual. And when we pray from the heart and the heart of the righteous, it makes tremendous power available. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're in the world, but not of the world. That strength will be given, because if we fall in the day of adversity, our strength is small. Oh, Lord, even this morning, Father, hearken to our voices of prayer. Visit us, men and women, young men and young women, and even our children. Come, Lord. Let there be an opening. The Holy Spirit said that the Lord stands at the door and knock, if any man shall open. Father, grant us the heart of reception, that we might receive again. Let there be an awakening. Grant that light will shine over us. All the cloak of darkness and ungodliness, Lord, as we pray together, let it be removed from us. Let the entrance of our world bring illumination. Any area the enemy have gained entrance, Father, we pray, Father, that you will strengthen us to stand on our feet again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, because you have heard us. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.